Okay, so let's unpack this. I want you to picture two completely different worlds.
Right.
On one side of the table, you've got MyRec.com. If you've ever, signed your kid up for T-ball or tried to rent a park pavilion, you've probably used software like this.
Totally. They're the human approach people.
Exactly. They're
Yep.
independently owned, staffed by former park and rec professionals. Their whole vibe is just, it's warm, it's community focused. We make the admin stuff easy so you can create fun. That's their line.
Right. It's software with a heartbeat. They really pride themselves on knowing the struggle of the job because, well, they've done the job.
Precisely. Now, on the other side of the table, we have, well, something that sounds like it came out of a sci-fi novel about industrial automation. It's called AutoContent API.
A very different vibe.
Oh, yeah. I was reading their documentation, and honestly, I felt like I needed a dictionary. They're talking about hyperscalability, programmatic infrastructure, and headless content production.
It creates a fascinating tension, doesn't it?
It really does. Because today, we are going to try to merge these two worlds. The mission of this deep dive is to see what happens when a community-focused, high-touch platform like MyRec plugs into the cold, industrial, API-first infrastructure of AutoContent.
And can we actually solve this problem of content saturation for local parks departments?
That's the goal.
And just to set the stage, we've gone through the technical docs and strategic reports from AutoContent, specifically looking at their Notebook LM API alternative and all the automated media stuff.
And we've paired that with the business philosophy and the feature set of MyRec.com. But before we get into the nuts and bolts, I have to stop you. I mentioned headless content production earlier. For the, the rec director listening who just wants to fill their soccer league and go home, what on earth does that mean?
It's a terrible name for a really useful concept. Headless just means separating the content, the text, the data from where it gets displayed. Think of it like water. You have the water in the pipes. It can come out of a kitchen faucet, a garden hose, or a shower head. The water itself doesn't care.
I get it.
So in this context, headless means you take your information, say the rules for the community pool, and the system can instantly push it out as a website, a PDF, a video, or a podcast without you having to manually rebuild it for each format.
Okay, that makes sense. So instead of typing it four times, you type it once, and the plumbing handles the rest.
Precisely. And that leads us to the aha moment we're chasing today. Automation in this context isn't about replacing the human element of parks and rec.
It's not about firing people.
No, it's about something the sources call radical efficiency. It's about handling all the digital noise so the humans can actually get back to the parks.
But to understand why that even matters, we have to look at the reality of the people MyRec serves. Let's create a persona here. We can call her Susan.
Okay.
Susan is a recreation director in a mid-sized town. What does her day actually look like?
Well, looking at MyRec's About Us and their client profiles, Susan is drowning.
Just completely swamped.
Yeah. She loves the community. She wants to run great programs, but she is likely understaffed and totally overworked. MyRec's whole value proposition is, we don't do add-on fees. They want to simplify the boring stuff, registrations, facility management, finance.
Right, they handle the money and the signups.
But there is this hidden struggle that isn't explicitly about registration. It's the communication gap. In 2024, Susan isn't just managing baseball fields. The community expects her to be a multimedia production
They
house.
want a newsletter. They want a Facebook update. They want a video explaining why the pool is closed for maintenance.
And they want it to look professional. People are used to Netflix and TikTok now. If Susan puts out a grainy photo or just a wall of text, they tune out.
And she doesn't have a video team.
She doesn't have a video production team. She doesn't have a podcast studio. She barely has time to eat lunch.
This is what the AutoContent reports call the production bottleneck.
Exactly. The traditional model of creating content is linear. One person creates one asset. So Susan sits down, writes a script, records a video, edits it, exports it. That's 4 hours of her day,
And hundreds of dollars in her time.
which a municipal budget definitely does not have. So Susan just, she
Yeah.
doesn't do it, or she does it poorly and nobody watches.
Right. So you have MyRec trying to make life easier on one hand, but the demand for modern content is just outpacing the human capacity to create it.
That's the gap we are trying to fill.
Enter the AutoContent solution. Now, you mentioned earlier that this isn't a tool, it's infrastructure. I feel like tech companies use those words interchangeably to sound expensive. Is there a real difference?
There is a huge difference. Think of a tool like a hammer or even ChatGPT. You log in, you type a prompt, you wait, you get a result. It needs your attention. It's manual. Infrastructure is like the electrical wiring in your house. You don't use the wiring, you flip a switch and the light just comes on. Auto content is an API, an application programming interface. It's designed for developers, in this case, the engineers at MyRec, to build automated workflows that just run in the background. Susan, our rec director, she might never even know auto content exists. She just clicks a button in MyRec and the work happens.
So Susan isn't prompting an AI. She's just doing her regular job, and the system is doing the heavy lifting underneath.
Precisely. The key concept here is content transformation. The argument auto content makes is that businesses or rec departments, they don't lack ideas. They have the information.
It's just trapped somewhere.
It's trapped. It's trapped in a PDF brochure or a facility guide or a policy document on a dusty old hard drive. The API takes that existing text and transforms it into other formats automatically.
Let's talk about cost, though, because industrial grade usually means expensive.
Usually, yes. But the source material highlights this massive shift in unit economics. Manual production of a podcast, you know, hiring a host, editing, equipment, can cost what, $150 to $500 per episode?
At least.
Auto content. It creates a podcast for roughly 10 credits.
Okay, translate that to dollars for me.
About 10 to 20 cents.
Wait, really? Okay, that is a significant difference. You're moving from hundreds of dollars to literal pennies.
That's the radical efficiency. For a budget-conscious platform like MyRec, this is really the only way they can offer advanced media features without breaking the bank or violating their no hidden fees promise.
All right, let's make this real. I want to walk through some specific scenarios because abstract tech is great, but I want to know how this helps Susan. Let's look at use case A, the support ticket avalanche.
This is a huge pain point. MyRec prides itself on its client success team. They say there's always a real live human on the other end of the phone.
Which is a huge selling point in an industry where support can be, terrible.
It is. But I imagine that humans spend a lot of their time answering the same question. How do I reset my password? Or how do I use the fee calculator?
Over and over again.
Exactly. Repetitive questions are a drain. They demoralize the staff and they clog up the phone lines for people who have actual complex problems.
So how does the API fix this?
So MyRec could use the explainer video endpoint. They take their written help documentation, say, the text guide on how to set up a soccer league, feed it to the API, and the system automatically generates a 60 to 90 second video.
Okay, hold on. Is this just a screen recording with a robot voice reading the text? Because nobody watches, though.
That's the old way, yeah. The API can generate AI avatars, which are getting surprisingly good or high-quality motion graphics with synthesized voiceovers that sound really natural.
And it formats it for mobile or desktop.
Yep. It creates a vertical or horizontal video that explains the concept visually.
But does it actually help? Or is it just more content for content's sake?
Well, the sources cite specific stats on this. Embedding video increases dwell time, how long someone stays on a page. It makes pages 53 times more likely to rank on Google.
Okay, that's good for marketing.
But for MyRec, the internal stat is what really matters. Fewer support tickets.
Because if I'm a parent trying to register at 11 p.m., I can't call support. But if I watch a 60-second video, I solve my own problem and I pay the fee.
Exactly. And for the MyRec support team, it frees them up to handle the real issues like a payment gateway failure or a complex facility conflict, rather than explaining where the submit button is.
It reinforces their "we get you" brand promise by respecting everyone's time. Okay, I buy that. That's real efficiency. But let's look at use case B. This is the one that caught my eye because it feels a little more futuristic. The Notebook LM API alternative.
This is where we pivot from internal support to community engagement. You know how Google's Notebook LM has been making waves?
Oh, yeah.
You feed it a document and it generates an audio overview, basically two AI hosts bantering about the content.
Yeah, I've heard those. They sound frighteningly real. Like they laugh, they interrupt each other. It's wild.
Well, auto content offers that same capability as an API endpoint. So imagine MyRec integrates this directly into their dashboard. Susan uploads her fall season brochure.
Which is usually like a 20-page PDF that nobody ever reads.
Correct. It has the soccer schedule, the pumpkin patch details, the new pool hours. She uploads it, clicks a button, and the system converts that PDF into a season preview podcast.
So like a 10-minute audio episode.
Yeah, where two enthusiastic hosts discuss the upcoming soccer league and get excited about the pumpkin patch.
Okay, let me play devil's advocate for a second. Is a parent really going to listen to a fake podcast about the rec department?
Think about the context, though. Parents are busy. They're driving kids to practice, driving to work, doing laundry. They are not sitting down to read a 20-page PDF on their phone.
That's true.
But would they listen to the town rec update in the car to hear if signups are opening next week? Probably. It turns active reading into passive listening.
That makes a lot of sense. It just fits into the dead time of a parent's day.
And here is where the infrastructure part really shines. Inclusivity. Auto content supports over 50 languages.
Oh, wow. So if I'm a rec director in a community with a large Spanish-speaking population,
you upload your English brochure, and the API can generate the podcast in Spanish or Hindi or Mandarin instantly.
That is actually a massive deal for local government. Usually to do that, you have to hire a translator, then you have to hire a voice actor. It takes weeks and costs thousands.
Right. And because of that cost, it usually doesn't happen. This democratizes the information. It ensures that non-English speakers get the same rich audio experience as everyone else.
Now, there was another feature mentioned in this section that gave me pause. Voice cloning.
Yes.
This sounds, well, efficient, but also a little creepy. Walk me through the application here. Why would a rec director want to clone their voice?
It comes back to the human approach of my rec. The rec director, Susan, she often has a personal relationship with the town. People know her. They trust her.
Sure. That personal touch.
With the voice cloning endpoint, Susan records a one-minute sample. Hi, I'm Susan. Welcome to the parks. Then when she needs to send out a quick update, say, all fields are closed due to rain, she just types the text, and the system generates the audio in her voice.
So she can send out a daily park update audio blast without actually having to find a quiet room and set up a microphone every single day.
Exactly. It creates a consistent personal connection.
But, and I have to ask, does it sound robotic? Because if I get a call that sounds like some Uncanny Valley version of Susan, I might be more creeped out than informed.
That is the risk. The tech is getting better every month, but it's not perfect. However, for short, informational updates, fields are closed, registration is open, the utility often outweighs that slight robotic edge.
It allows her to scale her personality.
That's a great way to put it. She can be in everyone's ear without spending her whole day recording.
It's scaling the human presence. I like that. Okay, let's pivot to use case C. This is about how MyRec grows its own business. Marketing.
Right. Because MyRec is a business, they need to reach more recreation departments to keep the lights on. Auto content has tools for deep research and social listening.
The term newsjacking jumped out at me. It sounds aggressive. What does it actually mean in this context?
It's a standard marketing term, but here it's automated. It means monitoring the news or social conversations to inject your brand into a relevant moment.
Give me an example of how a rec software company jacks the news.
Okay, let's say a competitor, we'll call them Big Recor, announces a sudden 20% price hike. Or maybe a state passes a new regulation about playground safety.
Okay, something happens.
The Auto Content API is monitoring feeds like X and Reddit and professional forums. It detects a spike in negative sentiment or confusion using keywords like rec software price increase.
So it's literally listening for complaints.
Exactly. Once it spots that trend, it uses the deep research endpoint, which uses AI agents to browse the live web to understand why people are upset. Then it auto-generates content.
Like what?
It could draft a LinkedIn post or a short video script that addresses that specific pain point.
Something like, frustrated with unexpected fees, MyRec has a transparent pricing guarantee.
Yes. And it creates this in minutes, not days. In the attention economy, being first matters. It positions MyRec as the solution while the problem is still fresh in people's minds.
That brings us to the other marketing concept, programmatic SEO, or PSEO. This sounds incredibly technical, but I know it's important. Explain it simply.
Okay. MyRec wants to show up when people search for rec software. But people don't just search that. They search rec software for Texas, or rec software for small towns, or rec software for aquatics.
Oh, long tail keywords.
Right. To rank for those, you need a specific web page for each one. But you can't just copy-paste the same page 500 times and change the city name.
Google hates that. They call it thin content.
Exactly. They will bury you in the search results because it offers no value. It's just spam.
Right.
This is where auto content changes the game. It allows MyRec to generate thousands of unique landing pages. For rec management in Austin, the API could generate a unique text guide about recreation trends in Texas, a unique audio summary, and a unique video.
So every single page has high-quality multimedia content that is specific to that topic.
Yes. It signals to Google, This is a high-value resource. It allows a smaller company like MyRec to dominate search results for every mid-sized city in America without hiring an army of 50 copywriters.
It effectively lets them punch way above their weight class. But, and this is the big question, does the math actually work? We talked about pennies earlier, but let's look at the business model.
It seems to align perfectly. MyRec is very proud of their transparent pricing. They base it on annual revenue, no hidden fees. They can't suddenly start charging clients an extra $500 a month for AI features. That would betray their brand.
Right. If they turn into the add-on fee guys, they lose their soul.
But look at the auto content pricing. The business plan is 108 euros a month for 10,000 credits.
And remind me, a podcast was, what, 10 credits?
Yes. A short video is about 400 credits, so roughly 4 euros.
4 euros. Compare that to the alternative. A human-made short video costs anywhere from $50 to $300 to produce.
Or more.
So for the price of a decent lunch, MyRec can generate a professional video asset.
Correct. The unit economics are so low, again, the marginal cost of replication is near zero, that MyRec can absorb the cost. They don't need to pass a huge fee on to Susan. They can just say, hey, we added a new feature. You can now make videos.
That creates incredible stickiness. If I'm Susan and I have all my videos and podcasts living on MyRec, I'm never leaving.
Exactly. It fits their all-inclusive model because it doesn't require a massive infrastructure investment on their end. They don't need to build a server farm or hire AI engineers. They just connect the pipes and pay for credits.
It really feels like a perfect synthesis. You have the high-touch philosophy of MyRec, the people who know the parks, and the high-tech engine of auto content just handling the grunt work.
It moves the goalposts. Mm-hmm. MyRec provides the platform and the trust. Auto content provides the content-led growth engine.
And it changes the game for the users. We usually think of park and rec departments as, well, quiet. They put up a flyer at the library. Maybe they send an email.
Right. But this combination moves recreation management from just managing registrations to dominating community attention.
We're talking about an omni-channel presence.
Spotify, YouTube, social media, all of it. It empowers the local department to compete with the big guys and even the local news for attention.
And that leads to a really provocative thought for the listener.
Yeah.
What's that?
If a recreation department can produce a Netflix-quality volume of content, podcasts, videos, shorts, automatically using these tools, does the role of a rec director fundamentally shift?
From an administrator to what?
To a community media mogul. Think about it. If Susan can put out more relevant, local, engaging content than the local newspaper or TV station, simply because she has better automation tools, she becomes the voice of the town.
That is a wild thought. The Parks Department becoming the media hub of the community.
Why not? They have the stories. They have the events. Now, for the first time, they might actually have the engine to tell them.
Well, on that note, we will leave you to ponder the future of your local park. Next time you see a flyer at the library, just imagine it as a podcast instead. Thanks for diving in with us.
Until next time.